going on.
Thank you so much.
Feel like $1 million.
Shout out TMZ, you up?
Let me check out that rig.
TMZ stands for the Mayweather Zone.
How'd you find me, bro? I got my disguise on.
I love my TMZ family. My sports.
Welcome to TMZ Sports, where the triumvirate has returned. Mojo Mutati, Lucas Widman, and Edward Lewis. Guys, you remember yesterday, my favorite segment of the day was Caitlin Clark's $5 million offer by the Big Three. It was so nice. We got to do this one twice because ex-NBA star Kenyon Martin has weighed in on the situation and has some explosive comments. Ed, you got the details. What's up?
Yeah, he actually thinks if Caitlin accepts the offer, it's going to be a disaster. And he's not the only one. Gilbert Arenas thinks the same thing as well. Both guys were on Gilbert's show called Gil's Arena on Wednesday, and they broke down what they thought about Caitlin Clark's chances of succeeding in the Big Three.
Could you imagine her being matched up and Reggie guarding her for one, for two, them her being, it's 3-on-3. She can't hide nowhere. Guarding Reggie Evans out.
She's gonna score.
Huh? No, she ain't.
No, she's not. You don't think she's gonna score a point?
No, she will not score.
I think she would
score. She would not score one.
I think she would score.
That's, Lexi.
That's brute basketball.
Lexi.
I think she would score.
It's 3-on-3. She can't hide nowhere.
And you can see Lexi Brown, WNBA star, defending Caitlin Clark there. She's not alone because we actually spoke with someone who is very, very good on this topic. It's Nancy Lieberman. She is a Basketball Hall of Famer and a former WNBA star, as well as a Big Three coach. And we talked to her all about this. And she said, look, I love Kenyon Martin and everything, but he's got to be wrong here.
Kenyon was a really good player in the NBA, and he's a friend of mine, and I really respect him. But he's never been in her shoes. He's never been in my shoes. He's never been in Ann Meyer's shoes. He was fortunate to have a league to play in. He didn't change the game, but he played pretty damn well in this game. You know, the Annies, the Nancys, the Cheryl Millers, you know, the, you know, Brittany Griners, players like that have changed the game. And you have to look at it in that context. So she's already won the chip. The chip is, like, the chip to him is different than it is to me or Ann or Caitlin. The chip is changing your sport and making it viable. Is it probable that this could happen? Hell yeah. I know what it's like to get hit by a 280-pound guy setting a screen with me, on me. I know what it's like to be able to pick up a charge on Karl Malone, right? They're bigger, they're stronger, they're faster, but we have heart, we have desire, we have IQ. Caitlin is a wizard passing the basketball. Everything is possible. Didn't Tyrone Bogues play in the NBA at 5'3"? Did they say that was a publicity stunt? No. When I got hired to coach in the Big Three and people go, oh, it's a publicity stunt. I'm like, dude, I've been around for 40 years. This ain't publicity. I've earned the right to be here.
Wow. Hell yeah. Coach Lieberman kind of hyped me up with that one. I mean, all extremely valid points. I mean, let's be real here, right? Nobody would be expecting Caitlin Clark to go out there and drop 50 in any one of these games, right? I mean, 10 points, 6 points. I mean, who knows? But again, to my point yesterday, who cares? If you're going to the Big Three, you're doing it for the payday because this is life-changing money. To you guys' point yesterday, if she wants to pursue legacy and being the GOAT and all that stuff, you go to the WNBA and you sacrifice all that money. But at the same time, you want to talk legacy. What if she did go to the Big Three and do well there? Fellas, we got a major brawl involving Logan Paul, but not inside a WWE ring or even a boxing ring. Lucas, what happened?
Yeah, I mean, but it felt like that, though, Mojo, I'm not going to lie. I am still in absolute shock over this, so let me back up a little bit. On Wednesday night, award-winning journalist Graham Benzinger dropped a huge, long-form piece where he documented 5 months with Logan Paul, and title of the project was 5 months with Logan Paul. I mean, this guy was following him everywhere, you know, behind the scenes at WWE events, following him all the way to Ohio to spend Christmas with Logan's family, things like that, where you really get to see the real Logan Paul. And, you know, I even talked to Graham this morning and he was very thrilled with how things ended up, but it turns out Logan didn't feel that way at all. And we had the two on TMZ Live on Thursday to, you know, promote the project, but it really turned into something completely different, and it was quite a tense conversation.
When a narrative is being told about you that is so far from the truth because there's a one-sided story, it led to sleepless nights. It led to paranoia. It led to a manic state. It led to me opening up on Graham's documentary because I thought he had my best interest in line because I trusted this guy to do a profile on my life. And I let him in for 5 months under the pretense that it was going to be a show on Apple TV. And yesterday it airs on his YouTube channel. And so I'm in a weird position because although I think the piece was okay, the whole experience had been sour for me because I put my story into the hands of someone who I don't think was really looking out for me.
Wow. Graham? I didn't see that coming, but you can respond.
I'm bummed to hear that. Had obviously some insight on my end to that the past couple months since screening it with Logan. Obviously, it was originally intended for a streaming platform. Didn't work out, so we're airing it through the channels that we've had for my existing show the past, you know, 14 years. He went out of his way to give us great access and allow us to capture all different aspects of his life. And I'm super grateful for that. Even
Graham, do you know why I did that, Graham?
Because you trusted us.
No, because I thought it was going on Apple TV, like you told me. I have printed here hordes of emails from your team, Apple TV episode. Apple location release, debut of my Apple TV episode that you guys sent. And I gave you everything I have. I opened up to you. I was vulnerable. I let you into my house on Christmas because I thought the show would go to Apple. But instead, you plastered it on your personal YouTube channel after 5 months of filming. Coming into my life, I gave you archival footage of me and Jake from when we were kids. No one's seen that footage. And it went on your personal YouTube channel yesterday because what, your deal with Apple didn't work out?
Well, first, it also airing on ABC, NBC, CBS, and Fox stations across.
But that's not what I signed. But Graham, that's not what I signed up for.
I told you where it was airing.
No, you didn't.
Yes, I did.
No, you didn't. Prove it.
I told your manager Jeff Levin. I'm sorry. I told your manager Jeff Levin where it was airing.
That's manipulative. That sentence in itself is manipulative.
Let me finish. 4 months ago, I told everybody where it was airing and what happened. In 4 months, never was there any issue communicated to us
about
where it was airing.
You're lying.
Let me finish. The only issue that was ever communicated was remove this crypto stuff, remove this CryptoZoo stuff. If CryptoZoo is in there, if CoffeeZilla is in there, I'm not going to promote it. Less Suicide Forest.
But you lied to us on making me believe that you would keep the parts or remove the parts that I thought I could trust you with when I opened up to you on camera. When even just you sold me on the idea of this being on Apple TV, it's so alarming to me how that's, you don't understand how that could be an issue. I didn't sign up to do Graham Bensinger's personal YouTube channel. No offense, dude. No offense. I signed up to be syndicated on Apple TV.
I'll be completely honest, guys. I've been here for about 9 years now, and I've never experienced anything like this before. It's clear anything that's going on between Logan and Graham is going to probably continue for a while, and they're not really going to get over this yet.
I put my story into the hands of someone who I don't think was really looking out for me.
All right, fellas, moving right along. Let's liven this show back up. Let's talk about Philadelphia Eagles Landon Dickerson, a man of his word. Lucas, what am I talking about?
Yeah, so remember, Mojo, back a few weeks ago when he signed that massive $84 million extension with the Philadelphia Eagles, people were like, what are you going to do with all that money? And he innocently said, I think I'm going to get a new lawnmower. It wasn't a joke because he went to Instagram on Wednesday and he showed a video and a picture of himself in his brand new toy. It is a Gravely Pro Turn 560 Kawasaki. And I hope you're sitting down for this. It comes with a whopping $15,249 price tag. Now, we're pretty sure that's what it is, but it looks exactly like it. We kind of picture matched it, so it's safe to say that's what it was. But the guy couldn't have been happier, and you know, he just had a very simple phrase when he showed up in the video, and he was just like, got myself a mower.
It's so unnecessary. I can't even begin to talk about this. Look, Dickerson has a very, very huge yard that he manicures absolutely perfectly. If you've seen aerial shots of it, it looks like an MLB diamond, you know, a ballpark, some beautiful place like Wrigley Field or something. So I get it. I get that it's practical, but $15,000 for a lawnmower is insanity. I mean, you could have 2, 3, 4 cars for that kind of price, and you're doing it just to make sure your lawn looks kind of pretty. I don't know. He's got $84 million, so who am I to say what he should spend his money on? But man, that feels awfully excessive, Mojo.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I was about to say. I mean, that's the price of a literal automobile, a car that you can drive on the highway. I mean, looking at this thing now, it looks to me like you could probably cruise down a highway in that thing. I mean, look how comfortable he is. He's cruising around. I don't know if that's like memory foam under his butt, but he looks like he could go to bed or take a nap in that thing as well. Coming up next on TMZ Sports, we sit down with former WWE superstar and former Jason Momoa personal trainer to talk about his newly found stardom on Fox's Next Level Chef. Find out all about his journey next on TMZ Sports.
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of the hunt. But are you getting the thrill of the best deals? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Macy's, Adidas, and Walmart, and even stack sales on top of cash back. It's easy to use, and you get your cash back through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. So download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten. R-A-K-U-T-E-N.
Welcome back to TMZ Sports. I am your host, Mojo Mutati. And right now we have a very special guest joining us on the show today. Chef Mata, what's up, big dog?
Let's go, baby. We're here. Chef Mata's in the building. What's up, Mojo?
Brother, I'm hyped up. I'm rocking your tank right now.
It's
a little tight for me because I'm so much more jacked than you. You don't make sizes big enough to fit me. But
you've been spending a little bit too much time in the kitchen, bro.
Brother, we're going to get right there in a second. For those of you that don't know, Mata has had the most incredible all over the place background. You started out as a pro basketball player. You came over to WWE. You earned your way on the show by being on the reality show Tough Enough with the likes of Hulk Hogan. All right. Then you left WWE by your own choosing to go to Hollywood, where you were an actor on the movie Aquaman. You were Jason Momoa's personal trainer. You've been doing your thing in Hollywood, and now you are a celebrity chef on Fox's Next Level Chef. Brother, that took forever to go through your background. What has this journey been like, man?
I know, it's crazy. One of the hardest questions people ask me is either where I'm from or what I do, because I'm from everywhere, I do everything. And just like you said, I'm a man of many walks of life. But honestly, it's just so surreal going from basketball to WWE to training celebrities and acting, and now being able to cook for somebody like Gordon Ramsay, who is the GOAT in the kitchen and the culinary space, and having him say my food is delicious, something like that. Like, I never thought of my wildest dreams would ever come true. Food has always been the cornerstone of my life and my family. I traveled so much as a child. I didn't know the language, didn't know the culture, but food and sports were the two things that I was able to connect and unite with people, no matter where I was, no matter the culture, the background, ethnicity, religious beliefs. I was always able to unite and connect with people over those two things. And that's why it's been a dream come true being able to represent myself, my culture, my family on things like WWE with Hulk Hogan and now Next Level Chef and Gordon Ramsay.
I met you when we were at WWE together, and everyone knew you were a big-time up-and-comer there. You were just crushing it in the ring. You had a passion for it, and you picked it up very quickly. You had a guaranteed salary and a great career path ahead. Mm. You left that by your own choosing, which almost never happens in the wrestling world, because you had this unique opportunity to go do Aquaman with Jason Momoa. Mm. Was that transition hard for you? Talk about going from wrestling to Hollywood.
Yeah, leaving WWE was such a tough choice. I feel physically, I was made for WWE. I loved it in the ring, but you know how it is, the business, the outside aspects kind of got to me and I lost that passion for it. And I'm big on chasing my passions. And my passion at the time was fitness and acting. I wanted to get into the acting world. I wanted to get into Hollywood. I wanted to make my name in a fitness space. And I felt that was the best opportunity for both myself and my family. I was making good money playing pro basketball. And this is where the first time I left a successful career before WWE. I was making good money playing basketball overseas. And in 2011, I was a part of the Egyptian Revolution. I almost lost my life. I had no food or water for a week. I was boiling dirty tap water just to survive. And at the time going through that, I didn't know if I was going to make it. I went to call my mom, tell her I love you, but all the phones and the internet were all shut down. And when you go through life and death, you don't think about your accolades. You don't think about the championships you won, how much money you made. You think about some of the regrets. I wish I had done this. I wish I had done that. I wish I had told that person I loved them. I wish I pursued this career. And when I was sitting there in Egypt at the time, I lost that passion for basketball, that same passion I had as a child. And I wanted to pursue acting. I wanted to pursue fitness. And that was my real passion. I gave basketball one more chance, and I just didn't have it in me anymore. And that is what started MADA. So when WWE, when things fell apart and I had this other passion, I didn't hesitate. Even though it was a tough decision, I didn't hesitate to pursue it because I knew win, lose, or draw, as long as I'm chasing my passions, I'm winning in life.
And hey, man, winning at life, chasing your passion, that's led you to exactly where you are right now. Crazy that with all these things that we just discussed, cooking is where everything settled in. I mean, last week, brother, you knocked off the number one overall pick on the entire show in a head-to-head. I mean, that was the pro chef. It's like pro chef, home chef, social media chef. You're supposed to be at the bottom, but you knocked off the top pick. That was about as exciting as we've seen anything get on the show. You're still alive. What can we expect in the weeks to come?
No spoilers, but it's going to be a big next couple of weeks. I went so much further than I expected on the show. And that episode was so big for me. Like you said, being a home chef, being a social media chef, you're not quite that level. I remember the hours prior to the elimination, I'm pacing up and down, drinking pre-workout. I'm like, at that point, even Gordon Ramsay couldn't take me down. I just had, you know, when you're so confident in yourself, you don't care who you're up against. You're like, you're going down. And that's how I felt, because after that haka, I was like, I'm not just representing myself anymore. I'm representing an entire culture. So I got to do them well.
Today is opening day for the MLB baseball season. So something we like to do at the start of sports seasons is we like to go around to all the different stadiums in the league and check out the fun food items on the menus, right? They put out some pretty crazy, high-calorie, delicious monstrosities at some of these stadiums. We went through it earlier today with you. You got to walk us through some of the items on this menu, because as I'm looking at them, I mean, they are absolutely insane.
It's, I mean, I just remember seeing this pretzel, one foot long pretzel wrapped hot dog. And I was like, that's probably going to be the number one pick overall, because you can't watch a baseball game without a hot dog. I'm a big fan of pretzels. I saw the charcoal wings on there. I eat 100 wings in one sitting. No lie. Check me out on YouTube. 100 wings in 20 minutes. So I'm a big wing fan. I saw a couple other monster nachos on there. For me, I'm more of a fan of the food at baseball games than the actual game itself. When I show up to the game, I'm just showing up for the food.
Yeah, because, I mean, we got some crazy things on this menu. Check this one out. Now, this is a milkshake, so this isn't food, so this might not be quite your wheelhouse. But with Chicago, with the White Sox, we have the campfire milkshake, chocolate shake, graham cracker, toasted marshmallow served in a souvenir sundae cup. Ooh. How are you rating that one, buddy?
Oh, I'm going 10 out of 10. I am a sucker for s'mores, so that right there is right, and I have a monster sweet tooth. So that right there is a 10 out of 10 for me. S'mores, milkshake, I'm all in.
All right, taking it to the Cincinnati Reds with this one, the brisket and cheese hoagie, Montgomery in smoked brisket topped with peppers, onions, banana peppers, queso cheese, and barbecue sauce served on a potato sub roll. How were their combinations here? Was the sub roll a good choice? Break this one down for me.
Oh, my God. Yo, there's a lot of stuff to break down. Great choice of bread. Great meat right there. I love the combo with all the flavors. I'm giving that a solid like 9.3 out of 10. Is that in Cincinnati, right?
That's Cincinnati.
Cincinnati. I might be coming through soon. I need to try that one out for myself.
All right, Mata, thank you so much for joining us today. This has been exhilarating. Looks like you've lost a few pounds, so get back in that gym. You're starting to embarrass me on my own show.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I lost a few pounds, okay?
I think you lost and you're trapped. Your traps are looking a little light, so make sure you stick to your calorie
count. Eyes up here, bro. I'm not a piece of meat. I'm not a brisket from Cincinnati, bro. You got to buy me dinner first.
That'll do it for us today on TMZ Sports. We will see you tomorrow where it'll be the best show since today.
Let's go!